Oh, hello there. Welcome to another Frantastic Monday with me, John Iderola, and Francesca Ferrantini, broadcasting once again from the gates of heaven. How's it going, Francesca?
I like how you just don't introduce your show anymore. It's not even the damage report.
The damage report.
It's just Frantastic Mondays, because that's how it should be.
That's true. Where is someone consuming this that they don't know what it is? Like I was in the airport. It's LAX, and they had this show on, and he wouldn't say what the name was. I doubt it. But anyway, thank you for being here. Oh, by the way, your show is the Bituation Room, just in case, because you didn't plug it.
It is, and we have a weird Tuesday episode tomorrow at 5:08 Eastern. So tune into that. We're gonna be talking about how to bring your QAnon family and friends back from the upside down. So that'll be interesting with someone who actually knows what they're talking about, not just me like talking about crystals randomly.
That's certainly an important topic. I'm glad to hear it. So that'll be a cool weird episode on Tuesday. We've got a cool episode planned for this Tuesday. Oh no, I'll get to you. Oh, by the way, happy belated birthday.
Thank you, John. Yeah, I had to jump into the chat and troll the hell out of you and Brett on Friday to try and get a happy birthday. Yeah. And it didn't happen. And I cried all weekend. And then I just sort of was like, cheer up, Francesca, are you okay? You don't even have a real dragon name. That's all right.
Perhaps.
And then I sailed away in an ocean of tears.
Okay, that's good. Well, that's a fun adventure, and we sort of gave you that for your birthday, so you're welcome. But yes, we do indeed have an exciting episode coming up this Tuesday. So tomorrow, it sounds like I'm getting ready to announce something, and I only sort of am. I don't know if this has already been spoiled, so I'm not gonna spoil it. But we have a first time ever co-host, an exciting one. And you're not gonna wanna miss it. So you're gonna wanna be here tomorrow, live to watch the show. First time ever. Will we have to christen this person with a dragon name? We'll have to see. I don't know. That's up to you. But anyway, you're not gonna wanna miss it. And we're also gonna be filming our top 10 list, Francesca and I, a little bit later on. Our top 10 favorite current podcasts. So we get to talk a little bit about the nerdy stuff we're into. So that's fun. Or I don't know, maybe she listens to 5 football podcasts. I don't know. But you can tune
Rogan, Rogan. Rogan no. off spin. I can't
the night
do 4.
You play of Rogan. Rogan highlights. Anyway. Anyway. Okay. So a lot to get excited about. Please hit the like button, share the stream if you haven't already, so that people know we're live. And if you want to send us comments, tweets, super chat, stuff like that, we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, who's ready to talk about some news?
Are you ready for some news?
First, we have this. Then we'll have some news. But we're going to talk about this first. Let's do it. We just had the 20th anniversary of 9/11, a solemn occasion. You know, obviously, some people took time out to commemorate it. For most, it was, you know, like briefly think back on how tragic it was and how we made it even worse in the intervening years. Others had weird plans for the event. Let's start with Rudy Giuliani, who, of course, sort of rose to national prominence as a result of his actions following 9/11, whether in fact or hyped up by the media so that we felt like we weren't careening through the solar system in a chaotic anything can happen world. We just said that he was doing good things, I guess, and then mostly let him off the hook for all the weird anti-Muslim stuff. But anyway, here is what he was doing on 9/11.
You did a wonderful job on September 11th. And therefore, I'm making you an honorary knight, commander of the Royal something or other. I turned down a knighthood because if you took a knighthood, you had to lose your citizenship. I know Prince Andrew is very questionable now. I never went out with him. Ever. Never had a drink with him. Never was with a woman or a young girl with him. Ever.
So that was his like Prince Andrew impersonation. And then he reassured us that he never had a drink with him. He definitely had a drink, but not a drink with him. And he was never with a young girl, Francesca, with him. So that's good. Like Prince Andrew is literally like in the grip of a pedophilia human trafficking scandal. And Giuliani on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 is joking about how he didn't too rape a girl with Prince Andrew? My, how the slimy have fallen.
Like, you know, you are like, you know, the whiskey's really getting to them last brain cells when you can't even capitalize on the one thing you didn't do wrong, which arguably he did do wrong. But all you had to do to be America's mayor in the aftermath of 9/11 was just show up, just be there, just like walk in a little bit of rubble and like, you know, commemorate the firefighters. That's pretty much it.
That's
and
it.
He did that, and it was like, and before then, locking up homeless people, locking up the mentally ill, you know, like completely turning New York into a, you know, Ayn Rand neoliberal wet dream. And then, you know, 9/11 peak, and then back to like, okay, let's just demonize Muslims and run against Obama and all that stuff. So, you know, which I'll never forgive him for. No, I'm kidding. I don't care. But like, how are you, why are you making fun of an Epstein scandal? Why in no, in, and then there's laughter is the worst part.
Yeah.
Which they liked again, it. Look, I get they it. I've it. Been to a lot of comedy shows. If this is an open mic, if this is a comedy show, like that's a perfectly legit, you know, line, I guess. It's a fine punchline. But you're Rudy Giuliani on 9/11. Oh, buddy.
Look, I blame us, really. I blame America. I blame Americans. We put out there that all he had to do was say, what was it? It was a noun, a verb, and 9/11. And he tested it. The noun was Prince Andrew, the verb was rape. And he just went with it. It's not funny. Like, it's funny, you know, haha, so that you don't cry. But it's not actually funny. And that's how he spent the anniversary. Now, he does still have his fans. One, who another laugh so you don't cry moment, used to be president, sent a statement saying, congratulations to Rudy Giuliani for the 20th time, the greatest mayor in the history of New York City for having shown such leadership and doing such an incredible job during and after the attack on our nation. But what do you mean, like, you congratulate him each year? He hasn't done anything new. What are you like, is he on a board of like a foundation for people who suffered as a result of 9/11? Why are you giving him 20 years later? You're still congratulating him? That's weird. And he doesn't want your congratulations. He wants money. He wants to be paid for the legal work he did. That's what he wants.
By the way, this is a little bit of an IOU. This is about $500,000 of things that I owed, and I will give you a sticker, and that sticker will also be worth another $500,000. Then I'll take you to Red Lobster, and that Red Lobster trip will have only cost me about $60, but it will count as $600,000.
And Rudy's we're even.
Like, oh, thank you. Remember when Trump didn't like Rudy? This is my favorite part of the Trump administration. I mean, not favorite, obviously, many favorite moments, some that we always forget because, you know, pain. And but I love when he turned his back on Rudy because Rudy was kind of stepping out and like showing up a little too hard, and Trump really hated that. And then he realized he's the only friend I have left, and he's the only one who will work for, like, you know, Andy's mints.
Hey, those are good. You watch yourself.
I know they're free.
But anyway.
I know they're free on the pillow, but I like them anyway. Yes, it's as good as money.
Oh God, speaking of pillows, by the way, as someone in the chat brought up, he's talking about like young girls. Remember the Borat thing? Like, he was, yeah. I mean, it didn't necessarily show anything, but he wasn't not into it. Anyway.
He was well on his way.
Oh, I don't want to, I had a response and I'm not going to give it. But as weird as Rudy Giuliani's 20th anniversary commemoration night of 9/11 was, I think Trump's was actually worse because, look, Rudy Giuliani is a pathetic national figure, and so is Trump. But Trump was president like 5 minutes ago. Like, he was the most, he had the power of thousands of nuclear missiles like a little bit ago. And now he's doing this.
And we're going to have hopefully a very great night with a lot of great champions, and they're going to be. Them, they're going to be having a good time.
wouldn't want to do it. A lot of people wouldn't want to do it, but they look like they're going to have a good time. I just saw a couple of the fighters, and they love doing this stuff. So we're going to watch Evander and Vitor. We're going to watch Anderson Silva. Tito is the 10th. We're going to have some fun tonight.
Guys, I think this is going to be a lot of levity at the end of a rather somber day. Have a little bit of fun. Don't forget to shoot me your questions. I may have to finally twist his arm a little bit to find out about Area 51 and the aliens or whatever else you may want to ask about.
I'm just a guy, I'm having fun with my father. I tried to cut in like 10 times and he was not having it, or he just wasn't paying attention to me. I don't know, but it's a little bit of levity at the end of a solemn day. Francesca, on a scale of 1 to 10, how solemn would you say it was for those two D-backs?
I don't even think the former president knew it was a solemn day. He like did a double take as soon as his son brought up the solemn day. He's like, oh, right.
The grift, I forgot.
Yeah. Oh, yes, the reason we can do endless war, I forgot. Bless it, we should have taken all the oil.
Oh God, yes, over and over. So he, you know, back I think when he was running initially for president, Trump a couple times was like, you know, he linked 9/11 to the Saudis, which makes sense, you know, they were linked. And then like people were reminding over the weekend, he immediately took his first international trip to Saudi Arabia, and like did the orb. You guys totally did it, but now you throw the best bangers. I just love it. It's
you know,
solid,
once you put the hand on the orb, it all changes. When they give you a sword and they touch the orb and you just feel the magic, and you're like we'll throw my countrymen under the bus for this. Yeah, no, no one's properly addressed the Saudi connection, which is, it's awful. And of course, Trump, like, he shoots from the hip. I mean, he shoots from whatever's going on up here, you know, just sort of mice spinning around in a circle. And he just happened to say Saudi Arabia, but then immediately, went to go embrace them, as you must do. You got to kiss the ring when you're an American president, and we need, you know, Saudi oil connections, etc. But yeah, Trump, look, I have a lot of problems with solemnly and only uncritically looking at the 9/11 and sort of honoring that day, because it means so much, you know, of honoring of like, I mean, I honestly didn't appreciate seeing George W. Bush and Barack Obama and Bill Clinton sort of gathering all together and, you know, clapping and applauding for like how great Bush was, which he was not. Yeah. Hey, thanks for starting 2+ wars and throwing our entire country in debt, and thanks for all the PTSD and thanks for all the civilian deaths. I hate seeing that as well, but like, I do think we should respect the people who died on that day, and you don't do it with Evander Holyfield's fight. Like, you don't do it with whatever WCW. I'm not sticking landing, but you know what I mean.
If Barack Obama like did color commentary in like an NFL game or something, like, can you imagine? Can you imagine what they would say? What Fox News would say?
Barack Obama has to be there. Exactly. He couldn't be anywhere else. He couldn't be photographed in public eating like a cheeseburger that day without being harangued because it was, you know, or like, I don't know, French fries, or like, the French did not join us in Operation Iraqi Freedom. Okay.
Cheddar is the least solemn of the cheeses, you traitor.
Yeah.
Anyway. So look, it's obviously a complicated anniversary. Clearly, some people found ways to have fun with it, though. In Rudy's defense, he probably didn't even know it was that anniversary because he was wasted. Anyway, we're gonna take our first break. We come back, we're gonna jump back into the vaccine mandates and talk about a little bit of other news besides. We'll see you after this. Okay, everyone, we must now remember that we are living under a medical tyranny as we launch into our next topic. Let's get into this video.
Support for vaccination mandates, a 10-person school, 55%, a 10 sports events, 55%, work in person, 54%. Only shop in a grocery store at 41% has less than majority support. But the key here is the trend line. Look at this, 49 to 55, 47 to 55, 46 to 54. And even in shop in a grocery store, up 15 points from 26 to 41%.
Okay, so we're gonna be jumping into a bunch of different aspects of the whole vaccine mandate thing. And I want you to bear in mind that this poll, most of the time encapsulating the poll is before Biden actually announced the new mandates. Now, which again is not a mandate, we'll talk about that. But so the announcement could influence what people think about it. It could make people more supportive of it. There's a lot of talk about it, obviously, in the news. It could make some Republicans less interested because they're being told by everyone they trust that it's like it's the thing Hitler would do. But it does look like overall, there's at least a slim majority support for mandates for quite a few of the most substantive activities, Francesca.
Yeah, as there should be, because right now we have horrible numbers across the country. And so people are being convinced by literally what's happening in their communities. And especially people who are vaccinated, who are living in communities with high unvaccination rates. And so anything to help, you know, I mean, you can kick and scream all you want, but you will be saving lives. Folks will be saving lives. And so, you know, and I know it's not just right wingers, it's gonna be a lot of, you know, liberals and pundits being like, isn't there some other way where we can handhold the people who don't believe in science, but wanna take like a horse dewormer? No, sometimes you have to have a new regulation and a new rule to actually keep people safe because new stuff comes to light, dude.
Yeah, that's true. So let's get into a little bit more of the polling. We have this little screenshot here showing, this is Harry Anson, by the way, on CNN. You can see the difference between those in the GOP side of things, those in the Democratic side of things, obviously very different views of this. And I'm sure that that's something baked into their DNA. It's not just the result of right-wing messaging being almost universally against vaccination for the last year, if I had to guess. Now, in terms of what's actually happening after the announcement, several GOP governors immediately promised litigation, saying they would sue. It's not immediately clear how they have any standing as governors of states to sue. You would imagine regular people being affected by it would have to, but they want to. Even bearing in mind that Mr. Biden gave businesses an out, and I will keep reminding people this, employees who do not want to get vaccinated can undergo weekly testing, a fact that his critics fail to note. By the way, I'm glad that the New York Times acknowledged that, but it's not just a fact that his critics fail to note, it's a fact that everyone basically fails to note. Cheryl Gay Stolberg noted it, occasionally it's brought up, but most of the conversations do not acknowledge this. And actually, I saw a comment from Indie Dragon who says, messaging disaster, it should be a testing mandate. You opt out by getting the vaccine, which I'm not saying that's a good idea. It's not gonna fool, you know, like Tucker Carlson's not suddenly gonna be in favor of it, but that does seem like a better way to phrase it. And again, you do not have to get vaccinated. I cannot believe that that incredibly important detail is not a bigger part of this conversation.
So it's not actually a mandate is what you're saying.
No, it isn't actually. You are mandated to do one of the two things, even though, again, that's only about one out of every three working American adults. In any event, in terms of the legality of it, it does appear at this point that it will end up being ruled constitutional, hypothetically, by a hypothetical Supreme Court. We don't have a hypothetical random Supreme Court. We have a right-wing Supreme Court, which will do whatever they want. But in the past, Justice John Marshall Harlan reasoned that a community has the right to protect itself against an epidemic of disease, in that case, smallpox, quote, which threatens the safety of its members. Seems like that's what they're doing. The Supreme Court upheld a local health board's decision to mandate smallpox vaccinations in Jacobson v. Massachusetts back in 1905. States routinely require nearly all school-aged children to receive a long list of vaccines. Which is true, we've acknowledged it, and it's even a sort of line of thought that's being acknowledged finally on Fox News. I want you to take a look at this video of Chris Wallace, who is talking to the Republican governor of Nebraska, Pete Ricketts.
You say it's a personal choice. In fact, to attend school in your state of Nebraska, children must be vaccinated against a number of diseases. Let me put them up on the screen. They must be vaccinated against diphtheria, tetanus and pertussis, polio, measles, mumps and rubella, hepatitis B and chicken pox. Why are those mandates that parents in your state must comply with and do comply with routinely, why is it that they're not so objectionable and such a violation of personal freedom, but Biden's vaccine mandates are?
Well, for all those that you just listed, there's a long history that parents have had the opportunity to see how those things have been implemented. And there's still a lot of people out there who don't know what to trust. And in fact, this is really an outcome of what the CDC has done, because they flip-flopped on so many issues, whether it's masks or whether you have to mask after you've been vaccinated and so forth. There's just a lot of people out there who don't know who to trust right now.
I'll give you first crack at that. What do you think?
Oh, I just think that the crickets behind him say it all. There's just a loud chirring of like kee 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 as he's like trying to figure out how to word this. Yeah, the CDC, they've really flip-flop. Yeah, this isn't gay marriage in the 90s, dude. Like, this is a mutating virus that has killed 600,000 Americans at this point or more. Like
657, 58, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Yeah, and counting the deadliest days in a lot of these states we've just passed, right? So like, yeah, they're gonna change their opinion because they're learning more about a virus that still, even though, you know, it's been about a year and a half, like people don't know what it is. We're still learning about it. So, I mean, and I think like Chris Wallace, once again, somehow he's not a liberal, he's not on the left, but he's just asking a basic question, which is you have to get all these other vaccines. Why not this one? Look, guys, there's a reason we've never heard of pertussis. You ever heard of pertussis? You're like, oh God, nah, I gotta take the week off. I got the pertussis. No, you have not in your lifetime, most likely, because we've eliminated it thanks to vaccines.
Yeah, 100%. And his argument, I mean, look, obviously, when they're sending GOP governors, they're not sending their best. It's just people don't know who to trust. I mean, you know, I'm not a part of that. Me and all the right, we're not like desperately trying to make people not think that they can trust these. They just don't know who to trust. Like the CDC, for instance, they lie. They lied with masks and with whether you have to wear masks and get vaccinated. What are you talking about? Like that was literally what he said. Mm-hmm. The CDC did not lie about masks. They will never move past that. In like the second day of the pandemic, Fauci said that you didn't have to wear a mask. And whether you think he was right or wrong to do so, he's explained why he said that. It wasn't the scientific consensus of the CDC. And not one person on the right has ever drawn the right conclusion from that. That they were lying in that case in a way that made you more vulnerable. The truth was that you needed a mask. None of them have come out of their obsession with that quote saying, oh, I definitely need a mask. Thank God we figured that out. And it's a really weird, like if your case is that we don't know enough, we need to learn more, continually saying that the CDC, having learned from the result of us dealing with the pandemic, is a bad thing. And if they ever evolve, if they ever say anything new, we can never trust them again. That fundamentally undercuts your, we just need more time and more study argument. Especially when these are vaccines that have been tested on tens of thousands of people, of course, months and months. He doesn't know that, he doesn't care that. Ask him about how rigorous the testing of the pertussis vaccine was. How many people did they test that on? He doesn't know. I'm betting it was pretty good, but I don't know any more than he does about this. It's a political thing, it's a partisan thing, that's it. He believes that his fans out there, whether in his state or nationally, won't accept having to take a vaccine. And so he hides behind people don't know who to trust. That's it.
Yep.
Yes. Now, we'll skip past the other vaccines. Yes, many states require, Georgia, Mississippi, they all require massive amounts of vaccination. Anyway, and finally, the Occupational Safety and Health Act of 1970 permits the Secretary of Labor to issue an emergency temporary standard to protect employees exposed to grave danger from things that might harm them. So there's both constitutional reasons to believe it'll end up being acceptable. There are legal precedents as well. We'll see if they end up allowing any of that. And when I say they, I mean the conservative Supreme Court. That said, why don't we jump into a slightly different part of this? We have Brian Kilmeade and what he thinks Biden needs to do to get people to get vaccinated.
And usually people go to doctors for their personal medical. For example, now there's going to be a shot available for kids 5 and up. I don't want a politician telling me what to do with a 5-year-old. That should be parent and pediatrician. I'm sure you agree with that. And also, when the President of the United States is losing patients, he's losing patients with PhDs. They are one of the largest section of people who aren't getting the shot, medical workers, as well as African Americans, because only 4 of 10 have gotten the shot. Why doesn't the president call out African Americans who put him in office and yell at them to get the shot?
Francesca, thoughts?
I'm sorry, what? What? I'm totally lost. Losing PhDs?
I think he's implying that when you break down vaccine hesitancy by education, he's saying that PhDs are less likely to want to get vaccinated. I don't know. I haven't seen that. I would say though, regardless of which group you're talking about, whether it's the PhDs or the Black Americans that put him in office, he has been encouraging people to get vaccinated literally all year. Oh, by the way, all of those groups would be affected potentially by the vaccine mandate. So isn't he doing what Kilmeade wants him to do? He's encouraging all of those groups, yeah, whether his base or not, to get vaccinated. He did it rhetorically for months and months and months, tried to make all the resources available for it. And now he in fact is pushing for it to be mandated for at least some chunk of Americans.
Yeah, I mean, and there's also a lot of racism obviously embedded in that, you know, because Kilmeade is basically, you know, pointing out that African Americans are more vaccine hesitant, and we know that based on like histories of literal experiments being run on the Black community using vaccines and other so-called remedies. But Biden has deliberately reached out to those communities. Now, how effective that has been, I don't know, but he has made it a point to reach out to specifically Black and Latino communities and bring vaccinations to them, which of course they're all decrying as like, they're gonna knock on my door and they're gonna come, you know, and like violate my property, like step on my property, blah, blah, blah. So, but again, it doesn't die, right? Because if you can blame Black Americans for anything, Fox News will absolutely take that.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not happy with Biden taking actions that result in more Black Americans getting vaccinated. He wants him to yell at Black Americans using the word black. That's what he wants. So sorry, Kilmeade, I don't think you're gonna get what you want there. But anyway, what I would suggest to Kilmeade is you might wanna be a little bit more worried about the people watching your show. Because they've looked at a study of COVID cases nationally, breaking down states and analyzing based on the vote share that Trump got in the election. Of the 23 states with a total of new COVID-19 cases per capita surpassing the national rate, 21 of 23 voted for Trump. 14 of the 18 states with new death totals higher than the national average backed the former president in 2020. So clearly, this is a thing that is being influenced by politics, and nobody gets to be surprised by those results. Everyone in right-wing media has been working harder than they've ever worked before to convince every conservative in America to not care about this thing in every way that they can not care, in terms of their behavior, in terms of their masking, willingness to get vaccinated, all of it. Take any anger you have over the pandemic and turn it on random Asian people you see walking around the streets. That's all they've done for a year, and this is the result of it. More cases, more deaths than there needed to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Are we doing the Trump states story, yes, John?
We're okay. Talking about it right now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, again, we've been asking ourselves this the entire time, which is what is the end game here? You know, now you're seeing deaths among children. I read the story of the woman whose grandkids passed away, right? 4 years old. And you're just like, it breaks your heart. I mean, I'm not immune to that. And like, you know, they're being trolled, which is awful, and like no one in their right minds. And God, I hope that like you and I, as I'm like, you know, we've talked about this a lot. It's like no one is relishing in these deaths, but man, this is a lesson. Take the L. You know, these governors, look, here's the thing about these governors, in my opinion, and a lot of these red states, is that they know they're screwing up. They know that they have doubled and tripled down on a MAGA anti-vax, anti-science message, and that because it's been politicized since day one, and they cannot lose that voter base, but they are literally, quite literally losing that voter base. The problem is that they're going to be facing backlash from their own constituents who may be Republican. Like just wait and see. But their only leg they have to stand on is punching against Biden. Oh, the vaccine mandates. Oh, you know, Fauci. Oh, the CDC. Like that's all they've got. But ironically, it's also their mishandling of COVID that is probably gonna mean their undoing. Like I don't know what is in store for 2022 in terms of the midterms, but I do know that, like, in my opinion, the landscape strategically is ripe for a Republican who actually believes in science to come up and actually and like say, no, I don't like Biden or whatever, but I do believe in protecting you and your family, you know?
Yeah.
Just wide open.
Look, I would love that to be true. I don't know. We'll have to see. I don't see any of those rising up just yet, but maybe. The thing about the deaths and you know, there's people dying everywhere, but obviously more dying in red states and more conservatives are dying. It's sort of horrific in two ways. One, in terms of the sheer numbers. I mean, you know, we memorialize 9/11 for the loss of life. Well, okay, every 2.5 days we're losing that many people. So yes, it's horrific in terms of the numbers, but it's also horrific that clearly the right has made the decision that not enough of their people are dying for them to care. Like they see the numbers, they know that their people are more likely to die, but it's not enough to make them lose elections. If it was, I think that they would be scared. If you were gonna lose states because so many conservatives had needlessly kicked off, I think that they then might care about it. They've made a calculus. It's like the calculus for the recalls in Fight Club. It's like they just weigh the numbers, which is gonna be worse for us. And they don't mind hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of conservatives dying needlessly every day.
Yes, and but that is such a perfect example. You know, you're talking about like extreme capitalism and being like, oh, it's okay if a bunch of people die in this, you know, car we should have recalled. But that's exactly what conservative ideology is, and to an extent, a lot of Democratic ideology, right? Like always making the bet on money and the markets over human lives, right? And we on the left have always said people over profits, and that couldn't be, you know, more true than right now. But you get it. It's sort of like the conservative ideology, which is, well, as long as I have money, I'm fine. Well, as long as, you know, my daughter isn't gay, then I'm against gay marriage. But until that happens to me, but until I lose my home in a flood, but until I, you know, then I believe in climate change. It's like, it's always until it happens to me. And man, if fate can strike so close to you and you still won't learn your lesson.
Yeah.
And that is the conservative ideology. It is, we don't even live in a society, right? Like, what society? Why society? It's the McCloskey, as long as I'm poorly holding my gun on my giant mansion, nothing can get to me, right? And you know, to be honest with you, there's a certain level, like Kilmeade is an idiot, but he's kind of being consistent with how he was before the vaccine rollout, which was like, hey, it's about personal choice, it's about personal freedom, and if they're gonna die, so what? He's actually talking about death, where like no other conservative commentators even really mention the massive numbers of death and people or dead folks. Now, the devastating toll that you're mentioning, the fact that it's so egregious that we as a nation, like, when Biden came into the power and he did that whole like floaty, you know, like lights on a whatever. There were like a bunch of tea lights and they were beautiful. And then he like released them onto the Washington Mall. I got kind of emotional because I had realized that for a year, everyone was gaslighting us about the amount of death and nobody was being honest. And imagine you're losing loved ones now. I mean, it's such a slap in the face. But anyway, I've lost my train of thought, sir.
Well, it was a great train while it lasted.
Thank you.
And you're totally right. Yeah, they don't. The only death they acknowledge is, you know, unconfirmed stuff they saw on VAERS. Let's mix things up. The grift to make it so that mainly conservatives don't have to wear masks, don't have to get vaccinated in areas that are requiring it continues. Let's take you to Sarasota County, Florida. Do you think this wasn't gonna be about Florida? On August 30th, the school district there instituted a face mask requirement for all students. The only exceptions would be those who could provide a form signed by a healthcare professional confirming that they have a medical reason for not being able to wear a face mask. So that might sound like an onerous thing to track down, a healthcare professional, but it turns out that the definition of those words is a little bit broad, because over 1,000 students have already presented a signed medical exemption form in this county. How did they get it to 1,000? Well, one man, Dan Bush, a chiropractor, signed over 500 medical exemption forms for students in the school district. He is going to need a chiropractor for his hand after all those signed and the repetitive stress injury he's gonna get from filling all of those out. Now, if you're not familiar with chiropractic medicine, the Merriam-Webster dictionary defines a chiropractor as a quote, licensed healthcare professional who treats disorders such as back and neck pain, chiefly of the muscular skeletal system, especially through the manual adjustment or manipulation of the spinal vertebrae to correct nervous system dysfunction. Nothing in that really seems specifically about the face mask area or the lungs. I don't think you do adjustments to lungs. You don't crack a lung necessarily. But he has very much gotten to be a part of this. Now, if you look at his website at Twin Palms Chiropractic, it mentions he does practices including nutritional counseling and massage therapy, treatment of injuries, rehabilitation of extremities, disc conditions, but there's nothing about respiratory conditions. And how could there be? He's a chiropractor. What do you think?
You know how you wear masks on your spinal cord?
The disc mask.
If I can't breathe, well, my spine, first of all, chiropractors are quacks, y'all. You gotta be careful. Now, people are gonna at me. They're gonna send me lots of messages and be like, my uncle is a, I am a licensed. I don't like it. Too much cracking. I've been to chiropractors. They're no good. I very much trust osteopaths. Look it up, osteopathy. There are some bad ones. We won't talk about Larry Nassar. The point is this.
Oh my God.
So, it's not funny. Ooh. I'm not pulling a Giuliani. But chiropractors are quacks. I'm sorry, they are. They make more pain. Just because you cracked something doesn't mean it's okay. And it's so absurd that this one guy.
Unless it's a glass ceiling. Anyway.
Oh my God. Ally. I was pulling a Giuliani. How much money do you think they're paying him?
Well, look, I haven't seen anything about money. I am assuming it's not free unless he just really hates mask mandates. There have been other people who have done similar things with like cards for like getting out of having to get a vaccine or a mask or whatever. And those people seem to charge between $150 and $250. But honestly, I have not seen anything about money specifically. But he has been holding signing events. So Ron Filipkowski put up a video. You can see here, it appears to be well attended. Wow. Okay. Now, I again, and maybe he's just holding these events out of the badness of his heart, but maybe he's getting paid. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's a grift. There's like a whole picnic. He's like, come on down, buy my superfood, buy my balms, buy all the things. Here are my sex pills. You know he's got sex pills.
But canola oil? Try snake oil. Anyway.
Just can we regulate this? Can we at all? I mean, this is the thing, like sometimes it's helpful to have a government.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did in fact, in a way, regulate it. So let's see, the Sarasota Herald Tribune said that the Sarasota School District is instituting a new version of the face mask exemption form that limits the form to medical doctors, osteopathic physicians, or nurse practitioners.
Oh, so, we'll osteopathic see. Physicians win for Francesca. Francesca won. Chiropractors, negative two.
Yes, maybe
I'm just here
to
dunk on chiropractors.
That's true. Yeah, and look, I will say so that you don't at me. There are chiropractors that have been trained in a variety of things that might be helpful. And I'm not saying that no one has ever been helped by a chiropractor. I will say, if you do a little bit of research into the beginnings of it, it's wild. It reads like a fantasy novel. That's all I'm saying. Just take a look. But yes, there are not 1,000 kids in the Sarasota County School District that really don't need to wear a mask. They do not fit the exemptions. We need to have responsible medical professionals that aren't gonna play into this like tribal thing where you don't wanna wear a mask. Honestly, just cover your face. Let's get out of this pandemic. Florida has been devastated by COVID once again, needlessly. DeSantis has lost the pandemic multiple times, but he's getting a lot of assists anyway from the people of Florida.
Yeah, hey, hashtag save the children, huh? Remember that one?
Daniel says, Francesca, replace Feinstein. That would be an upgrade.
Okay. That's like when my mom's like, hey, Francesca, do the Daily Show. It's like, yeah, I'd like to.
You don't think I've tried? The Daily Show.
You don't think I've tried? You don't just wish it. You should be on SNL. You should replace Feinstein. People, we need to put a strategy in place, okay?
You know, we do. Okay, we're gonna take a break. We'll talk more about that in a bit. But we got more news coming up. We'll see you on the other side of this. Okay, everyone, we've got some more news. The sexiest topic of the day is fast approaching. That's right, the spending bill, and specifically the tax code changes. But anyway, before we get to that, I do want to let you know that Indisputable, as always, will be coming up immediately following the damage report. But there is a change. You can't just sit pretty at youtube.com/thedamagereport and watch it. The multi-stream has gone the way of the dodo. You need to go to youtube.com/indisputabletyt. Now, you can go after our show if you want, but what if you forget? No, don't take the chances. Just go right now and subscribe and click for notifications. And when they go live, you'll see it and you'll be able to keep watching. By the way, today, Michael Shore will be co-hosting.
Ooh.
Rashad Ritchie, Michael Shore. That is going to be awesome. I can't wait. And they're going to have a debate with Dr. Carol Lieberman, MD, MPH. I don't know this person, but I do know the nature of the debates on Indisputable. So I'm pretty excited that he's talking to a doctor on there because it's going to be wild, I bet. So anyway, that's coming up. Also, Old School is live Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Pacific Time on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and TYT.com. Cenk Uygur is going to be joined by two people who are very much not old school. Raivana and Ben Carollo, our two Twitch Pitch winners, are going to be joining Cenk. Old School is the show where you can really cut loose. And I have a feel, at least from what I've seen of Raivana, I think she's going to take advantage of that. So that's going to be a show to watch. Anyway, with that said, Francesca, you ready for a bit more news?
Of course.
Okay, let's do it. Let's jump right into this.
Chuck Schumer says he's moving, quote, full speed ahead with this package. Will he have your vote?
And that's fine. He can't. He will not have my vote on 3.5. And Chuck knows that. And we've talked about this. We've already put out $5.4 trillion. And we've tried to help Americans in every way we possibly can. And a lot of the help that we've put out there is still there, and it's going to run clear until next year, 2022. What's the urgency? What's the urgency that we have? It's not the same urgency that we have with the American Rescue Plan. We got that out the door quickly. That was about $2 billion, $2 trillion. And on top of that, you know, all the things we've had with the CARES package, everything leading up to that. So we have done an awful lot, and there's still an awful lot of people that need help. But you have 11 million jobs that aren't filled right now. 8 million people are still unemployed. Something's not matching up. Don't you think we ought to hit the pause?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a whole bunch of people not at work, spending money in infrastructure seems like a weird way to fill those holes. But anyway, that is Senator Joe Manchin once again saying that whatever amount they say they want, I'm against it until they make me feel fancy and pretty again or whatever. He's against the 3.5 trillion. And he says there, his new excuse is, we've already given so much money. But it's a point that's undercut by the fact that he came out in favor of $4 trillion after we had given virtually all of that money already. The timeline doesn't match up, Francesca.
He's just gotta be honest. Look, I am a cantankerous little pimple on the backside of the Democratic Party. That is what I'm designed to do. I am buttony. I am human buttony. Mm-hmm. You pop me and I just come back. I'm gonna keep coming back on your backside. Oh, and then it's when you pop me again, I'm just gonna scar. I'm gonna be a scar on your butt. This might have to do more with my body than anyone else's that I'm talking to, but you all know that I am Democratic buttony.
I'm worrying now that this is not representative of most people's experience. But anyway, well, I know what I'm gonna be dreaming of later.
He was designed to do that. He was designed to be a growth.
That's his role.
He's an unpoppable pimple. He's the giant little pimple. I'm sorry, you know, you can't get around it. And like, it doesn't wanna pop. That's Manchin. As a senator, and well, it doesn't matter. He'll never be specific about the number that he will or will not vote on. It's not even about numbers at all. It's just about being a contrarian little turd who has.
And you know what? I'm sick of contrarians. You're 100% right. We got them in politics. We got them in media. They got them in spades on Substack. I'm just sick of it. Contrarianism, I thought, was kind of cool, like freshman year of college for like a day. And then I grew up a bit, but some happened. Anyway, we are running very low on time, and I want to make sure that we get to Bernie Sanders. So why don't we go directly to the video of Senator Sanders? It gets spicy, so watch to the end.
First, your colleague Joe Manchin just explicitly told me repeatedly he will not support your $3.5 trillion reconciliation bill. He wants to see something more in the ballpark of $1.5 trillion. Is that acceptable to you?
No, it is absolutely not acceptable to me. I don't think it's acceptable to the president, to the American people, or to the overwhelming majority of the people in the Democratic caucus. Many of us made a major compromise in going from the $6 trillion bill that we wanted, supported by the overwhelming majority of Democrats, down to 3.5. Mm-hmm. And the last point that I would make on this, I know that Senator Manchin worked very hard on what's called a bipartisan infrastructure bill. $550 billion of new money to rebuild our roads and our bridges. What we have worked on is working both of those bills in tandem. They go together. And it would be a really sad state of affairs for the American people, for Congress, if both of those bills went down.
So it was like, you know, normal, like blah, 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 until finally, no, he's once again threatening to destroy both of those. What do you think, Francesca?
Yeah, and I think that's really important. And I've said this before, you know, I'm surprised that, you know, even Nancy Pelosi is on board with this because she knows she needs the progressive caucus and progressives in the House to support this bill. And because if they want to get that regular $500 billion infrastructure bill passed, they're going to need to pass this reconciliation bill. They're going to need to pass $3.5 trillion. I don't know if it'll be that. I hope it's near that. But even you think about $500 billion is the infrastructure bill. So many Republicans and then Republican lights like Joe Manchin, the Democrat, would love to just stop at that. It's a drop in the bucket. It's nothing. What can you do with that, right? Like, you know,
he doesn't care because he doesn't have much that he wants us to do.
No, absolutely not. So good on, you know, the budget chair, I'm trying to make this work, Bernie Sanders, for sticking to it. And also,
there you go.
Thank you. And I think also for representing Joe Biden. Look, if Joe Biden doesn't have enough bite, if he's not gonna actually go for the jugular, then Bernie can and Biden should use him.
I think that makes sense. By the way, wanted to give you just really fast a few other issues. Mark Warner says that he would vote against the budget unless more money is added for housing assistance to close the racial wealth gap. That's a better reason. It's at least a specific reason. We don't have time, unfortunately, to go really in depth, but I will say that what's coming out in draft form of the tax changes, basically what we expected. Taxes will be increased, including on the wealthy, but not up to the levels that they were at. There might be some new taxes that we didn't have pre-2017, but the stuff that's being changed to reverse what was done in 2017 does not bring it back up to the level it was at previously. So kind of what we expected, unfortunately. Okay, well, that is going to be all the time that we have for our first hour, but we still do have a lot of news to get to, including Melania Trump being thrown under the bus by a former aide of hers. That is going to be spicy. And we also have, meanwhile, and news from around the world is going to be coming at you very soon. We are going to take just a couple minute break, though. So if you're watching on Twitch and YouTube, we will see you in just a few.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.